You needn't be a communist to care about your community.
Be careful, you guys.
Community Garden with Oscar Perez.
So in the community garden today, we're lucky enough to talk to Living Streets Aotearoa, which is a New Zealand organization for people on foot, promoting walking friendly communities and encouraging walking and trying to advocate for the support of people to walk. So making our cities safer spaces to walk, making everything more pedestrian friendly, and all of that. So I was lucky enough to talk to Gay Richards about the upcoming summit and the other ongoing endeavors that they are engaged in, and how we can make our city streets more pedestrian friendly, assuming that we see them now as not pedestrian friendly.
Everybody walks. Everybody has to walk, unless you literally get into your car at your in your garage under your house. You will be walking every day of your life. We walk from when we're born. Some people are not able to use their legs, and then they're using mobility devices, but we also include them in our importance. It's active, it's healthy, it's cheap, it's inexpensive. Everyone can do it, everybody needs to do it, and it needs to be safe for everybody from 8 to 80.
That would kind of imply that walking in New Zealand isn't particularly safe. Would you say that Auckland is a safe place to walk around?
I am living proof that it is not safe. It's the environment is not always very well designed for pedestrians. You might notice that roads are usually pretty smooth and the potholes are filled in and everything's great. Get to the footpath, they can have tree roots, they can have puddles, and in my case it was actually really poor street design in a brand new Viaduct Harbour development, where there were steps where there could have been a ramp and they were not visible when you were busy looking at the beautiful view, which we all enjoy in Auckland.
What would you say would make good street design? Are there any examples across Auckland of great street design for the pedestrian rather than for a driver or motorist?
Yeah, there's pockets of good practice. Auckland Transport are generally introducing good practice when they do new ones. People do promote things like Federal Street, but I don't personally think that's that good. That's supposed to be a shared space, but it's still pretty messy and not sure where you should be and where you should be walking. The North Wharf area is quite good. You know, that was done, the Wynyard Quarter, that was done a few years ago. And that has got some good design elements in it. It's all pretty flat. They've put some pedestrian crossings in where the people are still travelling a bit too fast. It took them a while to do, actually. Is it supposed to be a 30K zone? I'm not sure that always happens. But, yes, that's possibly one of the better areas. Hopefully, Key Street and around Britomart will be good, but there's an enormous amount of roadworks at the moment which are creating a lot of hazards and difficulties for people as well.
Coming up, put on by Living Streets Aotearoa, is the Walking Summit. So what is the Walking Summit and what does it aim to do?
The Walking Summit is a chance for people to talk about issues for walkers and all pedestrians, that's people that use mobility devices, because we do want to include them. And this year we've got two. We did one in Wellington last year, and that was great because you get all the, I think it was the year before actually, before the election, we had all the politicians and people turned up that one. This one is more practitioners and advocates here. And we've got 2 days. One day is going to focus on getting more children walking to school, which is quite good in Auckland, but not so good in other parts of the country. So we're going to share some good practice there and also from the UK. And on Friday, we're going to focus on how important it is for walking, because walking is part of the public transport journey. And that's my particular interest, because I don't drive, so I use public transport. And that is the critical thing. You've got great buses and trains coming to where you want to go, but you're still going to have to be able to cross the road when you get there and be able to enjoy the space and have a seat to sit down if you need to sit. and have somewhere to maybe grab a glass of water for water fountain, something like that. We want nice streets, not just functional ones. So, and there's going to be quite a focus on the issues for disabled people and for accessibility, because if you design for disabled people, and in fact the guy in Brazil, I can't remember his name, who talks about designing for people that are 8 and people who are 80, because if you design for those two people, you get great streets.
I think there's an example in Europe, either in Vienna or Zurich perhaps, where they time traffic lights and the phasing of traffic lights to be either with a mother and a small child or with someone who is elderly to cross. Do you think Auckland could do with more adaptations like that?
That's a fantastic example, a fantastic idea. Yeah, I'm afraid I don't know which city it is either, but those two cities are quite good walkable cities, so it doesn't surprise me. Yeah, that's really good. That's something that's a real issue. In Wellington, they have some very short phases on some of their street crossings. In Auckland, we've got the counters, which are quite nice, because at least you get an idea of how long you've got. But yeah, you've really got to think that you might be your mother. My mother uses a walker now sometimes when she goes out, and they're going to take a little bit longer than the fit young man who might have been putting the signals in.
Certainly. So what will happen with the conversation or the things that are brought up in conversation at the summit, after the summit?
Yes, well, that's always a thing. That can be a bit of a talk fest. I think with the walking school bus, we're really hoping to inspire some better practice. Celia Wade-Brown, who you may know was the former mayor of Wellington, she's very passionate about that aspect, and I think she's got a plan. I was just reading here, it says a plan for 20 to 25. We've got Chloe Schwabrick popping in after that too, so maybe she'll be able to tell us what the government can do for us, because it's always a bit of a connection between local government are really responsible in Auckland Transport in Auckland for most of our street stuff, but the government can set the scene with some good legislation about making things safer. The second day, that public transport connection will be all about, I haven't really looked at what's happening on that, but that's the day that interests me the most. Making sure that people can safely use buses and trains and then walk to where they want to get to. We've got people from the Blind Foundation, Vivian Naylor, who's well known in Auckland as audits things for all disabilities, and it'll be a real focus. I think it'll be a bit of a fest of things that aren't quite right on that day, I'm afraid, but hopefully we'll come up with some solutions for some improvements. In fact, where I had my accident, I'm thinking, what could have been done there to make it better?
You mentioned introducing legislation at kind of more of a central government level.
Mm.
What would be two legislative things that you'd like to see improve to make walking safer or more prominent in New Zealand? And what would be two other little solutions that you'd like to see implemented in New Zealand?
Speed down to 30k, definitely around schools, all schools, not just ones that, because if on a state highway, they say, we can't take it down to 30. Well, you're going to have to find a way to do that. 30k speed limits, and that's what needs to go, a policy change. It's not so much in the government thing. We really want to keep cyclists off footpaths, apart from the very young, and of course the e-scooters, because the footpaths, there's a lot of other people on them who just don't need those things yet. And that's something the government needs to actually legislate on, because New Zealand Transport Agency have made a bit of a muddle of it, and now nobody really knows what the rules are with the e-scooters. The cyclists are quite clear. Cyclists are not permitted on the footpath, but they will ride on them anyway. We have a pedestrian planning guide, design guide, that was written a few years ago, and it would be really great if that was implemented properly. What tends to happen is people look at the guides and they go, but in this space we don't really want bright yellow pavers to alert you to their steps. Let's just have grey ones. It doesn't work. Yeah, slow speeds around schools, through communities. I'd love to see 30k right through all residential streets. That's what they have in Germany. Definitely sorting out what can and can't go on footpaths. And we need more research. That's something the government can put some money into. More research about walking. We don't know how many people walk. We don't know where they walk. The census data is really poor because it just says, you know, what's your longest bit to work? Well, usually the walk's not going to be the longest bit, but you are going to do some walking in getting to work or school. We don't like this whole thing of converting things to shared paths just because you can. Shared paths have their place in parks and where there's only one, you know, viable route, but turning footpaths into shared paths are not great. So more pedestrian spaces. That comes down to actually making sure the building code and the street codes, of which there are various, actually sort of match up, because often there's a gap between, you know, what happens on the street and then someone puts up a dirty great stamp and says, oh, but that's part of my building.
I can't reach the potatoes.
Community Garden with Oscar Perez.
I'm going to name this one Cynthia.
Go forth and prosper.